It's where you go to bike, hike, and stroll miles of pathways over more than 7,000 acres of parkland. A place to go explore rivers and fish their bountiful waters. Natural places to go marvel at magnificent wildlife while you play outdoors and go wander charming communities. Find all this and more at Destination Downriver. Give it a go.
Today's podcast is presented by MarketInsights.us. With the podcast on YouTube produced by the City of Taylor's Media Center. Thank you for the generous support of our community sponsor. When your destination is beyond downriver, let Martinson Family of Funeral Homes help you and your family. With locations in Trenton, Allen Park, Mabee, Rockwood, and Monroe, their staff is available 24/7 at 734-671-5400. For more information, visit martinson.com.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design. Let Allegra assist you with your print, mail, design, and signs. Located in Wyandotte, Michigan, or call 734-284-5330.
Welcome to the new year and another episode of Destination Downriver. I'm your host, Carl Zymek. Today's show is focused on one of our most dynamic assets, the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber. The Chamber is a fountain of valuable resources for its members that offers numerous benefits from networking and increased visibility to adding credibility and advocating for its membership. Members are able to connect with local and state governments while maximizing a wealth of resources. Research has shown that consumers tend to view companies who are active in local chambers favorably, as places that employ professional business practices, are reputable, care about their customers, and are involved in the community. Our guests today are Ron Heinrich, President and CEO of the Chamber. For the past 8 years, Ron has navigated organizational growth and expansion in the Chamber while overseeing some dramatic changes throughout the Downriver region. Also on set with us today is Sue Trussell, Director of the Downtown Development Authority of Brownstown and incoming chair of the Chamber's Board of Directors. She's one of the founders of Destination Downriver. We'll join Sue and Ron in just one moment. And we are back with our first show of 2025 with Ron Heinrich, Sue Trussell, both from the Southern Wayne County Chamber of Commerce. Let's jump in kind of at the deep end here. Lots of things happening in the Downriver region in 2024. Mm-hmm. What are the most high profile accomplishments that the Chamber played an important role in? And you guys can roll this between yourself. You want to start?
That's a really good question, Carl. And by the way, Happy New Year. Happy 2025.
There we go.
It's hard to believe we're saying 2025.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. But we did quite a bit in 2024. And I'll rewind to 2023, if you don't mind.
No, please.
So our board and especially our executive committee worked very hard on a 3-year strategic plan in 2023, and they did a great job and really identified what our priorities would be over the 3 years. And obviously a big part of that was to support small businesses, increase resources, increase their opportunity in terms of engaging the community, in terms of locating downriver, attracting talent to downriver, so that way small employers and large employers too have workers, have a good, reliable workforce, a talented workforce. And then also, a big part of our strategic plan was identifying what areas we wanted to focus on in terms of our advocacy efforts. Making sure that we have a solid tax base for our local municipalities, making sure that we have a good healthcare system, a good transit system in our region, all those kinds of things that play a critical role in a strong and thriving local economy. So I just wanted to kind of build that foundation, because That strategic plan really played a major role in the success in our efforts that we saw in 2024. And as many people would know, some of the big issues that we're continuing to see, in addition to, I know everybody thinks about inflation, you know, and the cost of doing business for small businesses, but also a lot of people don't think about nonprofits as well. And for nonprofits, you know, budgets are really slim right now. So when the cost of doing business goes up, it's extremely difficult for a nonprofit to grow and to continue to enhance their services to a community. So we wanted to really focus on adding resources and opportunity for nonprofits as well. But that's what we did. We focused on the big issues that we're facing, you know, small employers and throughout the entire Downriver and Southern Wake County, and advocating on their behalf, advocating on behalf of their interests, talking to our elected officials on all levels of government, from state representatives to senators, to obviously our local mayors and supervisors, city councils, township boards, you know, all of the above, and federal level as well. Congresswoman Dingell, Congressman Sri Tanadar, our U.S. senators. We have built a very strong and very positive working relationship with our elected officials. And, excuse me, that has played a big role in ensuring that the voices of our members and their needs are, you know, up in front of minds for our elected officials. And I think that 2024 really was a big year for us in terms of it continuing to establish a strong advocacy effort on behalf of local small businesses and nonprofit organizations with our elected officials.
Is the majority of your interaction with the business community from small business?
It is.
Okay.
Definitely. We do have a couple of large corporations in Brownstown. I'm mm-hmm. the DDA director of Brownstown, but the majority is small businesses.
Coming out of the pandemic and with some of the inflation that you mentioned mm-hmm. and things like that, what were you hearing out of small businesses down there?
That they couldn't find people to work was their biggest problem. They couldn't, we do have a lot of our small businesses are restaurants, and they couldn't mm-hmm. find employees, and they really struggled with that. Wanted to be involved in the community, but the owners of the business couldn't because they had to be working.
Carl, can I add?
Please.
I hope you don't mind, because Sue and I are a good tag team, and we often bounce off of each other. Mm-hmm. But Sue talks about the you know, the restaurants and the small businesses, and they can't find talent. That's an area that we are focusing on very heavily, is attracting talent to the region through Destination Downriver and through other mm-hmm. you know, efforts that the Chamber's involved in, that the Downriver Community Conference is involved in. But when you talk about restaurants specifically, I was talking about our advocacy efforts a minute ago. And by time this podcast and podcast is released, things could be different. But everybody's thinking about the February 21st implementation of the new paid sick leave law mm-hmm. and the minimum wage law. Mm-hmm. But what is a big part of that in terms of restaurants is the elimination of the tip credit. Mm-hmm. And it's not just restaurant employers that are extremely concerned about what that's going to mean for their business. Mm-hmm. It's also the wage earners, the tip wage earners, who are storming Lansing and telling our elected leaders that, hey, you know, this is going to destroy my quality of life because there's no guarantee that my customers are going to tip the same way that they used to. There's a chance that people might stop tipping because they know that a server is perhaps making a different wage. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm going to continue to tip. I know many people will continue to tip, mm-hmm. but there's a major concern, a significant concern from tipped wage earners that might not continue, at least at the level that they're seeing right now. And we're hearing that from the many wage earners that I'm talking to and many others. As a matter of fact, we've been talking to a lot of restaurants that are you know, concerned that they're going to have to lay off workers because they won't be able to afford the increase in wages and the elimination of the tip credit. And then in addition to that, the paid sick leave requirements on our smallest employers is something that is very concerning to employers and workers alike as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue, and we're continuing to hear about it from, you know, our local small employers. I'm talking about the small employers, you know, the mom and pop shops. Yeah. That's, you know, these different pieces of legislation and policy always affect them most, you know, in a local community.
Question for you, Ron, because if I remember that correctly, didn't that drop from the Supreme Court?
Yeah, so what had happened was in 2018, there was a ballot proposal that was written and was presented, and the Michigan legislature had decided at the time that the best way to approach that issue was to adopt the ballot proposal as a law. Mm-hmm. When they did that, they then revisited the new law that mm-hmm. was in place and amended it to make it something that was more workable mm-hmm. for small employers, right. our small businesses, our small nonprofits. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, are the talent and the workforce of those small employers as well. Mm-hmm. So it was something that was workable that most employers and most workforce, I think, were in agreement with, and it was something that was beneficial for everybody. Fast forward to recently, 2024, I believe, earlier in the year, the Supreme Court had been reviewing that issue mm-hmm. and did determine that the what was called adopt and amend process that the legislature did in 2018 mm-hmm. was unconstitutional in their opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, there were a lot of groups that disagreed with that opinion. Mm-hmm. However, the Supreme Court came out with that decision, and that was the decision that they came out to make. So that's kind of how we ended up with this situation. Mm-hmm. So again, at the time of the release of this podcast, February 21st is when that new law will be coming into effect. Mm-hmm. And basically, when the Supreme Court ruled that the 2018 law was unconstitutional, that made the original ballot proposal, which was adopted law, the new law right. of the state, mm-hmm. Effective February 21st. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
Would there have been a better way to handle this?
You know, that's a very interesting question.
I mean, let's say the people.
Yeah.
Let's start with them, okay? Mm-hmm. If the people came forward, okay, and passed that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, whether it's right or wrong,
yes.
okay, and I know where you're coming from yep. on that, and you're yep. making a lot of sense.
Yep.
But once the legislature tried to, I'm going to use the word circumvent, okay, the people,
yeah.
all right, then we got into a court battle, which resulted in something yep. that nobody wanted.
Yeah, and that's a matter of opinion. And it's also mm-hmm. interesting because the ballot proposal that was written and presented was written by a group from outside of Michigan. So there's an argument of whether or not this was a Michigan initiative, and this right. was truly, mm-hmm. you know, generated by the will of the people of the mm-hmm. state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Is this something that was a major concern to the people of the state of Michigan? Obviously, everybody is very concerned about the health and the wellness of our workforce and our small employers, and we need to continue to be. But that needs to be a discussion that's dealt with by the people of the state of Michigan mm-hmm. and the employers of the state of Michigan. And that's, you know, when you have outside groups and outside, you know, organizations that are coming in and trying to push their will on the people of Michigan, that's typically when you start seeing things get a little bit gray.
I would agree. That's true. So Sue, what are you hearing from small businesses? The whole issue of can't get people to work. Mm-hmm. That seems to have started right about as the pandemic came on
yes.
and we came out of mm-hmm. the pandemic. I'm putting you on the spot yeah. here, but what's changed? What's changed so much that we can't get people to work?
Yeah,
anymore?
That's a good question. I don't mm-hmm. know if I have an answer to that.
Maybe Ron?
Yeah, doing no, other things. It's a good question. And I think, you know, it's a very complex question because I don't want to say that people don't want to work. I don't believe that in my heart. I think that there's a lack of opportunities sometimes. There's a lack of maybe, you know, training opportunities, educational opportunities. And that's actually an area that we're focusing on at the Southern Wayne County Chamber, is how do we provide those kinds of opportunities to train our next generation of talent, you know, for the Downriver and Southern Wayne County region. We're partnering with the Wayne County Community College District for a program we call the Regional Workforce Talent Initiative. And that's exactly what we're focusing on, is training our next generation of skilled trade workers, of police and fire and auto technicians and plumbers and electricians. And, you know, the list goes on and on. But what we're finding, too, is that there's a real lack of talent in or workers rather in education. We don't have enough teachers when it comes to teaching the skilled trades. So our regional workforce talent initiative program is heavily focusing right now on recruiting educators from our business community, from our nonprofit community, that would be able to spend, you know, or invest a couple of hours a week training our next generation of skilled trades at Wayne County Community College. And we think that that's gonna really make a big difference. The other part of it too is inspiring our young workers, or rather youth that are in middle school and high school, to explore some of the trades that we're seeing a lack of workers in. You know, like I mentioned a moment ago, auto technicians, electricians, plumbers, even police and fire, all those things, we're seeing a lack of workers in today because probably we haven't really invested into inspiring our youth to consider those, you know, those trades into the future. So that's an area that we're really focusing on as well, is educating and inspiring our youth to consider those kinds of careers.
It's kind of amazing when you think about it, because I've heard the same things from people that I know and respect, where I think the three of us, it's a no-brainer to know that that job and that job and that job would be fabulous for anybody.
Yeah, you're going to make well over $100,000.
Exactly. You want to be a master plumber. You want to be a skilled tradesman, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, think the benefits and what that means for the quality of life for you and your family.
Right.
There's always work available.
Yeah, and instead, they're dying for people to hire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really difficult. How engaged are you with the high school level educators?
Yep.
That are kind of feeding into this whole system?
Again, a really good question. You're on a roll today, Kel. My gosh. good question. And that's actually an area that, when it comes to our Regional Workforce Talent Initiative Program, we're actually going to be focusing more on high school and middle school students in 2025, actually. Mm-hmm. We have a great partnership with Wayne County Community College District, and we've talked about how we want to do that into the new year. What we have traditionally done is the Chamber, we have a monthly business, legislative and business forum series. And this is something that we've been doing for a long time. We have a long tradition and storied history of this. We've had President George H.W. Bush speak at our forums. We have had all of our U.S. senators and members of Congress and governors, and the list goes on and on. But another part of that series as well is we talk about issues that are important to local employers in our workforce. For example, how do you utilize internship talent, even international internship talent? How do you take part in apprenticeship talent? And all different kinds of things that would be of importance, I think, for employers to know about. But what I'm getting at here is that we always invite local high school students to come out for free. We reach out to our high schools, and we have the teachers bring out a table of 10 high school students to all of our forums every month while school is in session. And that is a good opportunity for students to hear directly from their elected officials and to hear from business and nonprofit leaders about the issues that are important to their future, their future careers and talent in this region, and what issues are important to our local municipalities and all those things. And not only is it educational for our local high school students, but I think it's inspirational as well. And I'm very proud that the Chamber has been able to do that in partnership with our members, because our members actually will sponsor the table of students to attend. There's often a meal that's involved in that, and there's a cost. So we seek sponsorship from our members. So it's been a great partnership and an inspirational partnership, I think, for our local high school students to learn about the issues that are important to our economy.
And they're very engaged when they come, and they seem to ask the best questions.
They do. They always do. And we always have a Q&A at our forum series. So they do always ask the best questions, Carl.
Which is neat.
This month, January, we're actually hosting Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on Monday, January 27th for what we call her annual State of the District Forum. Mm-hmm. So she'll come in, she'll address the local employer and workforce community at Crystal Gardens. She'll often talk about the issues that are important to employers, obviously, talk about the state of the district, and then talk about some of the questions that our local high school students will have for her. She'll address those. So it's a great opportunity for schools to engage in the community, engage your elected officials, and be a part of what's important to the local economy.
With Sue coming in as the incoming chairperson, mm-hmm. okay, what are some of the goals and specific initiatives that the two of you are most excited about this year in 2025?
So before you answer that, Sue, yes. I think it's important because we didn't touch on that. The fact okay. that Sue it has been elected right. as our 2025 mm-hmm. chairwoman mm-hmm. of our board of directors
right.
at
right.
the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber. That's a mouthful. hopefully I got that out correctly. But can I give mm-hmm. just say something real quick? A lot of people wonder, what is the chamber? Mm-hmm. And we are a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. We operate just like every other nonprofit organization does. We have a board of directors. It's a governing board. Mm-hmm. I'm the president and CEO of the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So I answer to the board. I obviously report directly to our chair. And I have a staff that does a great job, you know, in the different departments that they run in service to our local members. Mm-hmm. So I think that was important to mention that, yeah, we are a nonprofit just like many others, like mm-hmm. the Guidance Center and, right. you know, Fish and Lowe's and mm-hmm. Wayne Metro. Our mission as a nonprofit is to serve our local employers and workforce to ensure that we're advocating on behalf of their needs and mm-hmm. interests. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. with that little bit of background.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let me, you know, now that I've introduced what we are and introduced Sue, and
just
go ahead,
to
Sue.
Add on to that. So we're a chamber of almost 600 members mm-hmm. and it's Ron mm-hmm. and four staff people. Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. not a lot for that big of a chamber. And he does Ron and his staff do a tremendous job for. Mm-hmm.
What are you, Let's go back to the initial question.
To your question.
In 2025, mm-hmm. there's got to be a couple things that really mm-hmm. excite you that you want to get your sink your teeth into. Mm-hmm. What are we looking at?
Yep.
I'm think just getting more members
okay.
to the chamber and also our member yeah. attention is huge. We've had 2024 was a great year mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. new members. Now we need to keep those members.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, and there's a lot of value in having a large membership because that obviously strengthens the voice of the regional business. Mm-hmm. When I say business, I mean employer because that includes nonprofits. But that strengthens the voice of our local employers and our workforce community mm-hmm. Because we are the premier advocacy organization on behalf of Downriver's employer and workforce community. And mm-hmm. so the stronger we are, the stronger our workers and our employers are. Mm-hmm. But also, I think our primary goals going into 2025 is empowering small employers in the community. And there's many different ways that we've been doing that. Just recently, we actually developed a two-year advocacy agenda. And what we did in that is we identified specifically what issues are important in terms of ensuring that our employers are successful, mm-hmm. that they're able to accomplish their service to our local communities and the residents. And also, how can they hire more people? What resources do they need? What are their, you know, what are their goals? What, you know, how do they want to grow? And how can they, you know, pay, you know, or rather hire more workers and give people more opportunities in this region to make a difference in the community? So that's what we identified. We really are focusing on economic development, attracting. Developers and good, high-paying jobs with benefits, all those things to this region. Doing that in partnership with the Downriver Community Conference. Carl, you know that we're really focusing on the riverfront with the opportunities that we have with the retired coal-fired power plants with DTE, the former McLeod Steel property. What opportunities are there in terms of bringing in good, high-paying jobs in the future? You know, looking at the Mill Street project and eCourse, mm-hmm. but also small businesses and small business growth. How do we bring talent to this region? As Sue mentioned earlier, a lot of small businesses are really still dealing with the struggles of not being able to fill, you know, positions that are being left open. Mm-hmm. So how can we continue to enhance Destination Downriver, which is our travel and tourism and talent recruitment campaign that we are really focusing on? So we've actually engaged some potential new partners, and we're not ready to announce anything, but we're still working on hopefully Increasing revenue for different programs, engaging new partnerships that will help us to add more resources to, you know, for accomplishing what we want to accomplish mm-hmm. on behalf of our members and on behalf of the municipalities. And there's a lot of different things that we want to do in 2025, but it all comes down to how do we empower local employers and local talent. And if you don't mind, I want to mention one more mm-hmm. thing. In 2024, we developed an amazing partnership with Wayne Metropolitan Community Action Agency, which is one of the largest nonprofits in the state of Michigan today. And many people will be familiar with Wayne Metro. They do a lot of services to empower residents that are in communities of need. Utility, water bill, payment assistance programs, resume writing services, mm-hmm. Helping people to find shelter in emergency situations. There's a lot of different things that Wayne Metro does. So we met with Wayne Metro and we talked about how can we enhance our partnership in service to our local municipalities and the residents and the workers, because we really see a lot of value there in a partnership, whereas we are serving employers and job providers. And Wayne Metro is empowering workers and residents and our talent. Mm-hmm. So how can we work together? And we came up with a new scholarship program for communities of color, empowering communities of color and small employers. And Wayne Metro committed to funding dozens of chamber memberships mm-hmm. for our smallest employers that are located in communities of color. And what that did was that empowered small employers to be able to overcome historic barriers that were maybe perhaps preventing them from joining their local chamber of commerce and taking advantage of the resources that the chamber of commerce offers. And so, Carl, that program in itself has had a tremendous impact on underserved communities mm-hmm. And really has empowered small business owners to be able to utilize the resources that we provide as a Chamber of Commerce in the community. And we want to continue to grow that program. And as a matter of fact, we are going to. Wayne Metro has committed to doubling their scholarship fund mm-hmm. For small employers in 2025.
That's good news. Mm-hmm. That's very good news.
Huge news.
Yep. Sue, how big is the board that you are going to be the chairperson of?
There's 40 members. Correct.
40
well,
members.
42
members of the board.
Now, it's the largest board in the state.
How do you keep a lasso on those?
We'll see. I haven't had my first meeting. Well, I ended the meeting last mm-hmm. year of 2024, but we'll see. Yeah. They're very cooperative. We're all there for the same reason. So
how do you manage to get onto the board to begin with?
So it's an election.
Okay.
Our board of directors, as Sue mentioned, is made up of 42 nonprofit, small business, corporate, and municipal leaders. Mm-hmm. So it's a very diverse group, very diverse board that we think represents our regional employer and workforce community well. Mm-hmm. And also the goal of it too is that because we serve 21 municipalities going from the Detroit River all the way to the Washtenaw County border, we really want to make sure that the board is geographically diverse, in addition to being industrial diverse, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Or industry diverse, rather. Mm-hmm. So we want it to be very strategic to ensure that we're serving our communities well, that we're serving our members well, and that every industry has a voice in terms mm-hmm. of the work of the Southern Wayne County Chamber. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, it's an election process. Mm-hmm. There's a nominating committee that meets that's usually a very diverse group of individuals from all different industries, small businesses, corporate, nonprofit, municipality individuals sit on the nominating committee. Mm-hmm. And they will identify individuals that are considered well-respected, that are having an impact on the community and maybe, a good fit in terms of serving the interest of our members on mm-hmm. our board. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that, too, is we do a call for nominations to our entire membership every year. And so it's a very open, very transparent process. Everybody has the opportunity to nominate themselves or to nominate a fellow member to run for a seat on the board of directors. Mm-hmm. There's a ballot that's presented to our board or recommended by the nominating committee. The board approves that ballot. It's submitted to our membership in October, then there's an election, and then once the election takes place, the new board members would take their seat in January. So it's a very transparent process. I think it's a very fair process, and everybody has an opportunity to at least run for election on the board.
So you've been involved with the chamber for quite a few years.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
How did you make your way up to the position that you're going to take over this year?
Hard work.
Yeah. Volunteering, make sure everybody knew who I was. So yeah, just being part of everything that they've done.
How did you get started?
At the chamber?
Yeah.
Just as a member. So I'm okay. Mm-hmm. For the township, Brownstown Township is right. A member. Mm-hmm. All the communities in the 21 communities that the chamber covers, those communities are members of the chamber. So I just started going to events, and Ron was new at the time. And we just got to know each other and just was very involved.
And now you've made a good team.
Oh, we're best friends.
Continue to do that.
So it's like, no, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Explain the fundamental difference between the regional chamber and all of the smaller chambers.
Yeah, another good question, Carl. My gosh. I can see why you're hosting
some of these I get from other people.
From the puppet master, huh? Okay.
Behind
but,
the curtain.
We are a regional chamber of commerce, which I'm just going to explain this real quick, just because I think this might be a point of interest for some people. There's actually many different levels, I guess you can say, of what we call the Chamber Federation, which is a network of chambers of commerce. All the chambers of commerce are individual, independent, nonprofit organizations that have their own board of directors. But beginning in Paris, France, is where the International Chamber of Commerce is headquartered.
Okay.
You learn
something new every time you sit on the show. Okay.
Most countries have a national chamber of commerce.
Okay.
In some countries, actually, employers are mandated to be a member of their chamber. That's not the case in the United States of America, obviously.
Okay.
We believe in free enterprise, and we'll always fight for free enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what, for the most part, chambers of commerce in the United States were formed around the idea of free enterprise and fighting on behalf of that, that vision for our employers and workforce. But here in the United States of America, we have the United States Chamber of Commerce, obviously in Washington, D.C. The U.S. Chamber arguably is probably the most powerful advocacy organization in the country today. Again, arguably. Some people might agree or disagree with that. They are a very large organization that, again, is really focused on fighting for free enterprise and lobbying and advocating on behalf of employers and workers.
Mm-hmm.
Their office is located right across the street from the White House. So they are right in the thick of Washington, D.C., policymaking. We have a great relationship with the U.S. Chamber, and we get a lot of good information from them on a regular basis. Most states have a state chamber of commerce. Obviously, here in Michigan, we have the Michigan Chamber of Commerce based out of Lansing, which has won many awards as the most effective advocacy organization in the state of Michigan. And I agree with that because I've seen their work, and it's nothing short of amazing what they're able to do. And they're one of our closest partners today, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. And I have a very strong relationship with them. We communicate with them almost weekly on a lot of different issues that are important to our members, like, for example, the tip credit, the minimum wage, the paid sick leave, all that kind of stuff. Workers' comp issues. Right now, there's a workers' comp bill that's being discussed in the Senate, back in December there was. There's a lot of issues that we really work closely with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce on, and they're a great partner. Then there's regional chambers of commerce. One of the most well-known regional chamber would be the Detroit Regional Chamber, which is another close partner of ours. I believe if I have this correct, which I think I do, the Detroit Regional Chamber is the third largest chamber of commerce in the United States of America today, which is mind-blowing. So you think about the United States Chamber, Los Angeles, you know, mm-hmm. Chicago.
Right.
New York City has multiple chambers that are broken up by, how do you say it? Bureau.
Thank
you. Yeah, I don't want to say like sections, yeah. You know, bureau. you know, there's the Manhattan Chamber, there's the Queens Chamber, mm-hmm. there's all those things. But the Detroit Regional Chamber is a very effective organization, the third largest. Mm-hmm. We're a regional chamber. So mm-hmm. we serve 21 municipalities. We focus on, all of our work is focused on a regional level. Mm-hmm. That's why we're so closely partnered with the Downriver Community Conference, which is also a regional organization as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's local chambers. You know, our friends at the Allen Park Chamber is an example. Mm-hmm. The Romulus Chamber of Commerce, the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce serves Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. Livonia Westland Chamber serves Livonia Westland. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different kinds of chambers, and they're all very unique. They all have their own flavor, their own, you know, unique niche. Their work is guided by their boards of directors, just like mm-hmm. ours is at the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Let me bounce some questions back and forth to you two as we head toward the finish line here. And I'll start with you, Ron.
Again.
What's more important to the chamber, luring new business or maintaining current business?
So what's more important to the chamber is empowering businesses, empowering small businesses, mm-hmm. empowering employers overall in our workforce. Mm-hmm. When I go into work, I'm not thinking, how do I increase our membership numbers? I'm not making that up. A lot of people are like, oh, come on, Ron. That's not what we're about. We're about bringing people together, bringing employers together, bringing workers together, bringing communities together to have a positive and lasting impact on the community that we serve, which is the Downriver region. Mm-hmm. And so we're focused on empowering employers to make sure that they can maintain their current operations effectively, that they don't have to deal with all kinds of red tape and unnecessary burdens, that they can employ more people, they can provide more high-paying jobs, they can provide benefits to their workers, mm-hmm. and they can pay taxes so that we have a strong local tax base in our municipalities. So the municipalities can provide the services that our workers and our residents need and our employers need. So that's what we're focused on, Carl, is empowering our members and empowering our local communities. That's everything we do.
Sue, what's the biggest challenge when it comes to the chamber, when it comes to both short-term and long-term issues, success? Any ideas?
Educating mm-hmm. them,
okay.
giving them as much information mm-hmm. as we possibly can, mm-hmm. and the chamber does a wonderful job of that. Mm-hmm. I think they just being informed of the issues because things change,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. from day to day. I think just informing them and helping them make mm-hmm. decisions, mm-hmm.
yep.
especially legislatively. Yeah. There's so much going on that they're small business owners. They don't have the mm-hmm. time to read through everything
gotcha.
and to you know figure out what they need to do. And I think
sense.
It's yeah.
If we're Carl, we're very unique because we're, when you talk about our organization, the chamber, we are our members. Our members are us, meaning that they're, whatever the challenges that are keeping our members up at night, whatever those are, that's what is keeping us up at night as well. And there's no difference between the chamber and the members that make up the chamber, if that makes sense.
No,
so
that's a very good answer to
that. So whatever challenges they're facing, mm-hmm. those are the challenges that we're facing as well. Mm-hmm. Because without our members, there is no chamber. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to my earlier point about when the membership is strong, when the membership is strong, the chamber is strong because we are the voice of mm-hmm. our region's employers mm-hmm. and workers.
A big part of most great organizations is networking. I think that's really, really a key part of what you guys do.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge part of what we do. Because I think, you know, one of the most beneficial things of a chamber is business to business networking, mm-hmm. Meaning that you're networking with fellow employers, you're networking with potential vendors that you can trust and rely on and build a relationship with. And that's really key for, I think, employers and the workforce as well, is that networking piece. Because people do business with people they like, you know, whether we like that or not. That's just, I think, the reality of it. Especially, you know, now everybody, you think you can just go online and order everything. But it's still the case today that people do business with people they like. And there's no other place where you can build such positive, lasting relationships in the business and employer and nonprofit community other than the Chamber of Commerce. And here locally, it's the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber. We do networking events all the time. We have a morning networking event. We have a lunchtime networking event. We have an evening networking event. We have what we call referral and connection groups. There's four of them that meet on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings and a Thursday afternoon, where there's 30 to 40 employers, you know, all different kinds, that get together and pass lead and referrals and build relationships with each other. And there's, you know, they host it at different places throughout the Downriver region. There's a ton of opportunities with the chamber to build a very beneficial network throughout the community.
And if I can give you an example. Sure. So the morning sparks are great and they're nice because they're at 8 o'clock. They're gonna last an hour and you're in and out, but we do round robins, so everybody talks about, you know, their elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. I needed a fountain sealed at the township. How do you do that? There's a gentleman there who does that. Got his card and, you know, got it all taken care of.
So you're not going to get that on Amazon.
No. And I trust him. He's a member of the chamber. You know, I'm going to trust him. And other people, you know, said he was a good guy. And I just think it's amazing. And that happens almost every time I go to a Morning Spark. There's something that triggers, you know, I need that either on a personal level or a business level. So.
Yep.
Which shows that program is working.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Sue, you folks at the Chamber, and you alluded to this, Ron, earlier in the conversation, you've added some new faces, full-time faces to the organization. Can you tell us who they are and what they do?
Sure. So the most recent would be Kate.
Curry.
Yep. She is, what's her official title?
Yeah, so titles are always changing.
Yes.
Help me out. But Kate Curry is our events and marketing manager.
Okay.
And one of the things, this really brings up a good point. I don't want to get sidetracked off of your question, but we are really focused on investing into our area's youth and our young talent. You know, that's why we have the Downriver Young Professionals group that we host at the chamber, and other programs, you know, I think that are important. Like we talked about the high school students and others. But Kate Curry is just a brilliant young mind. She's only 22 years old. She often says, "I'm only 22 years old," and you wouldn't know. She very mature, very talented, very brilliant, just a brilliant person. And she was brought in just back in 2024, I think it was July or August, towards the middle of the year, or towards the third quarter rather, is our events and marketing manager. Mm-hmm. And she's done a great job in terms of bringing new ideas, fresh ideas, new energy to our organization. She has a keen eye for marketing and how can we be, you know, marketing our members better and you know, empowering our members in different ways. So she's been great. But the other one that has also been tremendous that we brought on board just recently, but it's been a year, and that is Monique Reister, who comes to us from the Henry Ford. She was originally brought on as our membership services manager, and in that role, she was tasked with the duty of developing new programs to service our members, obviously sharing benefits and resources to our regional employers and workers, and, you know, building up our membership numbers and all those kinds of things that would come with, you know, a membership services type role. She was recently promoted to Senior Director of Membership Engagement. And it was, the reason was because I was talking to her and like, you're doing a lot of additional things in terms of, you know, being a leader in the office and in the community and driving a lot of these programs and initiatives. I think we need to make your title reflect that more. And so we gave her a promotion rather to senior director of membership engagement mm-hmm. to better fit the what she was doing mm-hmm. In the community. But she's also been an absolute dynamic talent, brilliant, brilliant lady that's just really passionate about serving mm-hmm. the Downriver community, our members, our employers, and our workers. And I will say, I will tell you, Carl, we have Mary Pilon, our administrative mm-hmm. assistant, Stacy Hale runs our regional workforce talent initiative program. Mm-hmm. I think that we have one of the most dynamic chamber teams in the state of Michigan today. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool that it's right here in Downriver that we have such a talented team mm-hmm. serving the Downriver community.
Well, that's fantastic.
And I think passion, is, mm-hmm. as Ron stated, yeah. is that they're all very passionate.
Yep.
And that's very, very important mm-hmm. in any organization.
It is.
There's no doubt about that. Yep. How much political lobbying do you do, do you guys do when yeah. it comes to chamber activities?
So we do advocacy work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We definitely are very engaged mm-hmm. in terms of serving the voice, the needs of our members.
Mm-hmm.
I talk on a work on a regular basis with our state mm-hmm. representatives, our mayors, our township supervisors, our members of Congress, Congressman Dingell, Congressman mm-hmm. Tree Tanadar. We're very engaged mm-hmm. with ensuring that the needs of our members, the goals of our members, are being heard by our elected leaders. So hopefully that answers the question, but
it does.
Yep,
it does.
And that's one of my, mm-hmm. I have my degree is in political science.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My background is in local government. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to intern for the great mm-hmm. Congressman Dingell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you remember Jeff Donofrio?
Oh, yeah.
He was
the
district administrator mm-hmm. for Congressman Dingell back then. And obviously he's the CEO of Michigan, our business leaders mm-hmm. for Michigan now.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Governor Whitmer's cabinet. I had the opportunity to work under him.
Mm-hmm.
And so learn from the best.
Right.
And so this is something that is very important to me personally. Mm-hmm. It's one of my passions is advocating on behalf of our employers and workers.
Well, part of that, and I think, and I know you mm-hmm. know this because you do a really good job of this, Ron, mm-hmm. the whole chamber does, but you especially, mm-hmm. and that is you become the messenger, okay?
Yeah.
You get the information and get it to the people
yes.
that you serve, and you get it to them in an understanding mode,
yeah.
And you let right. them
layman's terms
exactly,
yeah.
and you let yeah. them, but you are very, very good about mm. keeping businesses downriver informed
yeah.
of what's going on
yeah.
in Lansing and other places.
So that's a really good mm. point, Carl, because one of the biggest issues that we recently dealt with mm-hmm. was the Corporate Transparency Act, which is a federal mm-hmm. law that was mm-hmm. put into place January 1st, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
As a part of that law, every small business, every employer, essentially, with the exception of some nonprofits that mm-hmm. were exempt, not all, but some, they had to file what was called the beneficial ownership, drawing a blank on it,
mm-hmm.
but beneficial ownership information mm-hmm. Reporting, BOI.
Yeah.
I think I got that right. All these government acronyms, mm-hmm. like, oh. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's most, but a lot of small businesses especially mm-hmm. had no idea that that was federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If you didn't file your BOI report by January 1st, 2025, you were facing not only serious financial penalties, mm-hmm. but jail time. As a small business owner,
wow.
jail time. And so that was a major issue. I can't tell you how many CPAs that I've talked to mm-hmm. who said a lot of my clients and people that I don't know or people that I talk to rather in the community didn't even know that that was a federal requirement. And it doesn't matter if you know or not. If you don't follow law, you're guilty of not following that law and you're gonna be facing the consequences. You can't, in a court of law, oftentimes you can't say, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So that's one of the biggest, most valuable benefits of being a part of your Chamber of Commerce, especially the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber, because we were making sure that our members were aware and informed of that specific requirement and many, many other issues that come up throughout the year that's, you know, that is passed by the government at all levels of government, from federal to state. A lot of businesses that were not members of the chamber, they didn't know. And I know that for a fact, because I talked to CPAs and other small businesses that said, my colleagues had no idea that they were supposed to file this this report. The other part of that too is that at the time of the recording of this podcast, it could be different when this comes out, but a district judge had ruled the BOI reporting and that portion of the Corporate Transparency Act potentially unconstitutional. So it's there's a current what do you call it? All these legal terms stay, meaning or they vacated the BOI, meaning that right now small employers are not required to file the report, but it's a temporary situation, so that could be changing in the future.
So it's probably better if you file the report.
It's better that you are at least prepared to file. So in the case that an appellate court says, you know what, no, this is constitutional, you need to be prepared to file that BOI report immediately, because it's due, according to federal law, January 1st of 2025. That's why I want to, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen at the time this recordings released. But anyways, my point is that that's another thing that employers wouldn't know unless they were a member of the chamber, or if they do their own research and they dig deep, because that's not something that you're usually going to see on Channel 4 News, you know, for example.
Exactly.
You know, so.
I hear you. Well, let's sum this up. Sue, I'll give you last word. If somebody's interested in joining the chamber, what's the easiest way to do?
Go to swcrc.com. It has all the information there.
Okay, fantastic. Sue Tressel, Ron Heinrich, pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Carl.
And thanks, Carl.
Hopefully a good 2025.
It will be.
Okay, fantastic. Downriver is developing a reputation as an emerging hub for startups and new business growth, something of an entrepreneurial hot zone. Leading those efforts is the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber. If you're weighing the benefits of joining the chamber, consider attending a few of its many events scheduled over the coming months to find out what it's all about. If you join, you won't be disappointed. You'll be able to tap into a powerful network of like-minded professionals, gain visibility, and stay informed about important issues affecting our businesses, communities in this region, statewide and nationally. For Samantha Rickert and Joe Camilleri behind the controls, I'm Carl Zymak. We'll see you on the next episode of Destination Downriver.
Thank you again to our sponsors, Martinson Family of Funeral Homes and Allegra Marketing, with a special thanks to our production partners here at the new Taylor Media Center. Thanks for listening and watching. Please visit our website, destinationdownriver.com, or our Facebook page, and be sure to join us for next month's podcast.